Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of John once again. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 in our Bible this morning. We carry on with our study in the Gospel of John and to come to the last part of chapter 8. Another powerful piece of scripture here in John chapter 8 this morning. I trust the Lord will bless to our hearts and lives each one. Sometimes you go to a family reunion or a situation where you see family that you haven't seen for a long time. Maybe you think you've never seen them because they remember seeing you when you were a little baby and haven't seen you since, or so on. But if you're of the younger generation, then you usually will be greeted by questions with, now whose child are you again? Now whose son are you? Whose daughter are you? And people will be wondering who you are. Well-meaning family members trying to put things together. Say, well, that's okay then, you know, trying to put everyone's families together and put people together in mind and so on. One of the means of trying to figure that out is sometimes your appearance. You say, now you look like you're related to so-and-so. Yeah, are you so-and-so's son or daughter, whatever? Maybe it's how you sound. You sound like Uncle so-and-so, is that who? And they try and put you together with who you are related to by the way you look or the way you sound. And maybe how old you are. Thinking, well, let's see, so-and-so is that old, so their child would be, okay, I think that would be that person. And they're trying to figure out whose child you are. At the end of the day, that's what they want to do. Some are very proud to tell you who they're with at those situations. Say, well, my mom and dad are so-and-so and so-and-so. And they, you know, there's all those things that go on in those kind of situations. Proud of their heritage, perhaps, and introduce themselves accordingly. Well, here in our text, and in Jesus' day, of course, the Jews were very proud to point back, and I'm sure still are, to their heritage as children of Abraham. After all, it was Abraham who God called to begin what we say is the Jewish race, the children of Israel. And it was God who called Abraham and said, I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and multiply your seed exceedingly. And so God promised that. And so the Jewish people, the people of Israel, are very proud to say, we are the children of Abraham. And we see that in our text here. Back in Jesus' day, the same thing was taking place. In our text, we see that the conversation in the temple turn to discussion of fatherhood. Jesus uses that opportunity to teach those who he was speaking to that they were not acting like the children of the father with whom they had connected themselves. They were not participating in things that Abraham would have, but like another father who was known for deceit and murder, the devil himself. Obviously, they didn't appreciate that sentiment. They didn't appreciate that comment, that connection that the Lord made. Jesus also spoke of his father and how he acted in accordance with his father. This conversation brought to light the fact that spiritually there are only two fathers, God and the devil. There are only two spiritual fathers, and the characteristics of the one we belong to will show themselves in our lives as it did in Jesus' day. And so this morning, with these thoughts in mind, as we look at our text, we'll be thinking about a message with the question, whose child are you? John chapter 8, verse 37, the Bible says here, that Jesus speaking, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not the devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for this time in your word. Lord, I pray that through your word this morning, you'd speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, as we read this portion of scripture, I pray that we would examine our own lives and see who we are connected to spiritually. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that are not born again, not children of God yet, that today would be the day that by faith they would become children of God. And Lord, we pray that as Christians, we too would see in our own lives the need that we have to just follow you and to serve you and to act indeed like your children. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us would know that your Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning. Take the words of the message and apply them, I pray, to our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, their claim as the children of Abraham, as we've read it in verses 37 to 40. Their connection to Abraham. Jesus is speaking here in verse 37. If you have a Bible that has the words of Christ in red, these words will be in red, because Jesus said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Jesus said, you are connected to Abraham. You are Jewish people. You are descendants of Abraham. He acknowledged that physically they descended from Abraham. He knew who they were. As we've already mentioned, God had promised to multiply Abraham's seed as the sand of the sea. Though Abraham started with no children at the time God made that promise to him, God said, I will multiply your descendants as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. And so God did exactly that. He fulfilled his promise. Undoubtedly, these people were descendants of Abraham, and Jesus acknowledged that fact. But in the sense that they were connected with Abraham, Jesus also said there was a great disconnect between them and Abraham. They were Jews, yes, but they were not following the works of Abraham. They were not acting as Abraham's descendants and Abraham's children. See, their ancestry did not guarantee their spiritual condition. They sought to kill the one of whom Abraham had prophesied to Isaac one day when he said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. And these people, claiming to be descendants of Abraham, said, We're going to kill him. Jesus said, Ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. He said that wouldn't be something that Abraham would do. Verse 40, ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. Yes, they were Abraham's descendants, but no, they were not acting like children of Abraham. Unlike their father Abraham, who believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, these people, Jesus said, wouldn't even hear his word. They said, my word hath no place in you. You're not listening to what I'm saying. Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted my words. But you, on the other hand, are not. Jesus said the difference was on account of their spiritual heritage. Because he said in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Again, he's not speaking of Abraham here. As we've already read verse 44, he will address who that father is. Their family heritage told much. Again, they said in verses 39 and 40, Abraham is our father. What do you mean we're doing as our father? Abraham is our father. But Jesus said if they really followed Abraham, they would do as Abraham did. Abraham would have not sought to kill the one who told them the truth, particularly when he knew who it was. And so though connected to Abraham in a physical sense, spiritually they were not children of Abraham. And so then they step it up a notch, we might say, because they claimed connection to Abraham. Now they say, we're God's children. They went above Abraham and they said, now we're children of God. You look at the end of verse 41. It says, we have one Father, even God. We are God's children, they said. Jesus said, you're doing the deeds of your father. They said, we are God's children. They thought he was accusing them of not being Jews and of not worshiping the true God. When it uses the word fornication here, we see back in the Old Testament, often the worship of false gods was referred to as adultery. It was referred to as fornication. It was like cheating on the true God to serve other gods. And so here they're using that and they're saying, listen, we are not that. We are the true thing. We are really the children of Abraham. We worship God. God is only the one who is our Father. Emphatically, they declared that God was their father. You know, there are a lot of people today who claim God as their father, just like these people did. And they may feel, as these people did, that they had just cause to claim God as their father. But Jesus disagreed with them, as we see in verses 42 and 43. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. If God was your father, you would listen to me. If God was your father, you would know who I am. If God was, so Jesus is saying, you don't have God as your father. He said, I came from the Father, and if you knew my Father, then you would recognize me. There would be a natural connection to Jesus if they were God's children. The Father and Son being inseparable, they would recognize His words as being God's words. And they would believe Him to be God in the flesh, God the Son. You can't love the Father and not love the Son as well. Jesus said, we are one. And you can't have one without the other. He had to tell them that they couldn't understand because they really weren't listening. They really weren't listening to Him. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Verse 43, even because you cannot hear my word. You won't listen to what I'm truly saying, and so you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. They would hear His words, but they weren't listening to what He was saying. You ever been in a conversation with people like that? You know that they're hearing what you're saying, but they're not really hearing what you're saying. The words are going in their ears, but they've already got a preconceived notion of what they think you're trying to say, and therefore they're not really listening to what you're saying. Many times we're guilty of only hearing what we want to hear and we don't understand anything else because we aren't really listening. Jesus said, you're not really listening to me. You're not paying attention to what I'm saying. You can't understand me because you're really not listening. And so he gets to really the heart of the matter in verse 44, and I'm sure it incites him to great rage, but he says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. The evidence suggested that they were not children of God, rather they were children of the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil, Jesus told them. The evidence was in the way they lived their lives. The evidence was in the way they spoke. The evidence was in the lack of faith that they had in Jesus, accusing Him of blasphemy and trying to look for things. The evidence was in their lusts and in their desires. They were not children of God at all. Jesus said, "You're of your father, the devil, who has always been a liar and a murderer." Think back to our first introduction to the devil. Back in Genesis chapter 3. What is he in that Genesis chapter 3? He is a liar and he is a murderer. He came to Eve in that form of the serpent, and what did he say? He said, "Has God said that if you eat this tree, you'll die? Has God said you cannot eat this fruit from this tree?" Then he said, "Ye shall not surely die." He out and out denied, flat out argued against what God said. He's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He said, "If you eat this fruit, you'll become as gods." God doesn't want you to be like Him, so He's holding this back from you. He was lying. The devil is a liar from the beginning. You know, the devil is still lying to people today. All kinds of people are being lied to, and they think that they're being told what's right. The devil will come along to you and to me and to people and say, "Oh, did God say that's wrong? That's not wrong. Don't worry about it. Sin? No, you're not a sinner. You're a good person. Don't you listen about that, what that the Bible says and what that preacher says and what those people say. Don't listen to that. You're a nice person. You're a good person. You're not a sinner." He'll come along to people and he'll come along to you and I and he'll say, "Did God say that? Well, God didn't mean that. God didn't mean that you will spend eternity in hell if you don't believe in Jesus. No, God didn't mean that. You'll be okay. Just do your best and try to do your best and everything will be okay." He lies to people all the time, just like he's lied to Adam and Eve at the beginning, because he is a liar and the father of it. There's no truth in him. He lies to people, telling them they don't need to worry about being accountable for their actions. "Oh, don't worry about it. Nobody will notice. Nobody will ever know. Just carry on. Oh, don't worry about that. Everything will be all right. Just be sincere and everything will be fine. Don't worry about that, what God says. Don't worry about what the Bible says. He didn't mean it to be that way." And just like he deceived Eve, many people are going, "Oh, okay." Because we want to hear that, really, don't we? We want to hear that everything will just be okay. We can just go about our lives and live any way we please. But don't let the devil deceive you as he deceived Eve. He murdered Adam and Eve, didn't he? God said, "In the day that thou eatest of the fruit of that tree, thou shalt surely die." The devil said, "Thou shalt not die." They ate of the fruit, and spiritually, they died. They were separated from God, cut off from that fellowship which they had previously enjoyed. Then spiritually, they died. And physically, they began the process of dying. Because the devil is a murderer. And the Bible says that since death came to Adam and Eve, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The devil is a mass murderer. He's murdering people day after day after day after day. People are dying and spending eternity in hell because the devil is a murderer from the beginning. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And still people are dying because of the devil's enticement to sin, because of his lies. Praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death doesn't have to be our lot in the spiritual sense, because God has provided for us to have life. But the devil is a liar and he's a murderer from the beginning. He is the father of lies, Jesus says. You know, when you tell a lie, you're not following God. God is a God of truth and righteousness and judgment. When you speak a lie, you're speaking after the devil. It doesn't matter if it's a little white lie or a big, fat, juicy lie. It doesn't make any difference. A lie is a lie, and the devil is the father of lies. Do you want to be following after his pattern? God is truth, and when we follow Him, we speak the truth. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak the truth with his neighbor." We should speak the truth because God has changed our lives. And now He is our Father. We believed in Him and accepted Him. He is our Father, and we have to follow His pattern of speaking truth. We've been made new in Him. If someone watches you and listens to you, who would they think you are a child of? Jesus said that these people were of their father, the devil, and they did the lusts of their father. The lust of your father, he will do. Because they were deceived, they failed to believe the truth that Jesus spoke. It was evident that he was not a sinner, and yet they accused him to be a sinner. And they failed to believe the truth with which he spoke because they were deceived by the deceiver. How sad that many miss out on what God has for them because they are deceived rather than believing the truth. In contrast to being deceived, God's children listen to God. Jesus said in verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God." You listen to God's words. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." That's an evidence to being children of God, hearing God's voice, desiring to follow Him. And so Hebrews says in Hebrews 3, "Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." Listen to it. Follow it. My friend, don't be deceived by the deceiver, but believe the truth from God's word today. In verses 48 to 50, the Jews said in verse 48, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" What were they doing here? Same thing they'd done earlier. Try to flip it over, flip it up. Hey, let's not be pointing at us here. Let's point this back at you. Rather than respond to what Jesus said, they tried to deflect the attention to Him and make Him look bad. They accused Him of being wrong so as not to look wrong themselves. Isn't it amazing how our human nature, when things are pointed out in our life, we try to make somebody else look bad so that that doesn't look bad on us? Sometimes we would rather make someone else look bad than acknowledge ourselves as being wrong. Some don't care so much about being right as looking good. It doesn't matter if I'm wrong, you're wronger because you're wrong about that. Right? That's sometimes the way we are. Don't point at me, look at you. Have you looked in the mirror lately? And that's what the Jews did. "Say we not well?" Hey, we know you. It's you, it's not us. The crowd of people that were gathered around there was they were watching. Is Jesus going to win this battle? Or is these religious leaders going to win this? What's going to take place? They didn't want to look bad in front of those people. And so they said, "Jesus, you're a Samaritan. You're a devil. You're wrong." Even though they knew in their hearts that what he was saying was true. Jesus was not concerned so much about trying to prove himself right as honoring the Father. He very clearly states, of course, "I have not a devil." He said, I'm not possessed. I don't have a devil. I'm just honoring my Father. I'm just going to do what is right. He didn't have to defend his reputation because he would leave that to the Father. I'm honoring the Father, and the Father will take care of me. But in verses 51 to 59, we see that there's the superiority of Jesus over Abraham. By his statements, Jesus clearly declares his deity in these last portion of this chapter, as we'll see this morning. And what a great powerful words he speaks. His words are life-giving. What does he say in verse 51? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That's a bold statement to make, isn't it? That's a powerful statement to make, that you either have to be crazy or you have to be God to say that statement. They said, you're a Samaritan, you have a devil. Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You know, Jesus' words are life-giving words. He said in John chapter 6, 63, we read it a few weeks ago in the message then, but he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus' words are life. God's word is a living book. And the words of Jesus as the word made flesh were living words. Who would dare to make such a claim to say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death? Only one person can. God. Because it's only true of one person's sayings, and that's God's. His words were true because he begins, truly, truly, or verily, verily. Again in chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me shall not see death, but is passed from death unto life. Life from the words of Jesus. Verse 24, we looked at last week or the week before, I can't remember which, but he says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So if you believe that he is the I am, that he is who he is, you will have life. Do you believe the words of Jesus today? Jesus says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Do you believe the words of Jesus when he said, you must be born again? Do you believe the words of Jesus when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do you believe that? If you believe, Jesus said, you'll never see death. You will not spiritually die ever. Eternal life is yours. It's available for you if you will but believe the life-giving words of Jesus. I trust you have done so, and if not, that you'll believe today. I always chuckle when I read statements such as we find in verses 52 and 53, particularly verse 53. 52, they said, now we know thou hast the devil. Abraham's dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Look at verse 53. And think of the silliness of these words. When you know who Jesus is, art thou greater than our father Abraham? Wow. Jesus, Son of God, Word made flesh, in whom is life, and that life was the light of men. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Remember what the woman at the well said to Jesus? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, God in the flesh. Are you greater than that liar, supplanter, deceiver, Jacob? Oh, far, far greater. What a question. Are you greater? Is Jesus greater? I can say to you, you can point to any human being that has ever lived upon the face of the earth, and you can say, He's so much greater that you can't even imagine the gap, the space between the greatness. Doesn't matter whether it's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, or Samson, the strongest man that ever lived, or David, the one who was the man after God's own heart. Jesus is greater, 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 many times greater. Art thou greater? Greater than Abraham? Yes, greater than Abraham. See, they were confounded by this statement that Jesus said, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. They said, but Abraham died. The prophets died. You're crazy. How can you say that a man like such as Abraham died then? And the prophets, why would they have died then? They didn't understand that Jesus spoke of spiritual death, not physical death. He would say as he preached, and I don't have the reference written down here, but he would say one day, I'm not the God of the dead, I'm the God of the living, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were still alive. Not physically, but spiritually, they were still alive. They hadn't died because they had believed his saying. As he would say in a moment, that Abraham had seen his day. Jesus is infinitely greater than any, be that the deceiver, Jacob, the father of the Jews, Abraham, or any other human being, whatever place man gives that person. They wondered who he made himself to be. Isn't that an interesting statement? Are you greater than Abraham? And then that last phrase, who makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? Who are you making out to be here? He didn't have to make out to try and be anybody. He was. He is God. And then so he says that very powerful statement as we see here what Jesus said. He is God in the flesh. In just a moment, we'll see it in verse 58, but they wondered, who are you? Who'd you make yourself out to be? He didn't have to make himself out to be anybody. He said the Father would honor him. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. I'm not honoring myself here in the flesh. It just means little if I talk of myself in that sense. He'd already talked about witnesses and so on, and the Father was his witness to who he was. He says, it's the Father that honoreth me, whom ye say, he is your God. But look what he says in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. To add insult to injury in their mind, Jesus said, Abraham saw who I am. What? They said, you're not even 50 years old. How can you have said you've seen Abraham? Abraham lived so long ago, how in the world can you say that Abraham rejoiced to see your day? Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day. Did you get that? Abraham was thrilled by the promise of God. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed that God would one day send a Messiah through the Jewish line, through his descendancy. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How do you become a child of God anyway? By believing. By believing in the Son. By believing in the Messiah. Back to John chapter 1, one of our first messages in this book, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe. Faith. Abraham had believed. Abraham looked forward and he rejoiced to see the day that Jesus would come. Thrilled by the promise of it. He had been told that all nations would be blessed in him. That God would make his seed as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. The sand of the sea, that earthly seed, and the stars of the sky, that spiritual seed. How could that be done? Through the Messiah who would come. He had been told that, he told Isaac himself, God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham rejoiced in the promise of Jesus' day, but did you know what else Jesus said? He said, and he saw it. Now he died in faith, not having received the promise, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. So physically he didn't see Jesus come. We know that. He died many, many years before. You know, we don't know the details of all of how heaven operates. But we certainly know that heaven, the angels, were well aware of the nativity of Jesus Christ. Because angel Gabriel was sent to tell Mary, to tell Joseph. And then on the hillside, the shepherds were sent, that angel of the Lord, and then a multitude of the heavenly host came and announced the birth of Jesus. Again, we don't know exactly how things operate and how much the people in heaven know about what's going on the earth. But we do understand that knowing all that, that surely Abraham knew that that day had come. He rejoiced to see it. He saw that day and was glad. Glad because he knew that God had fulfilled his word. Glad because it proved the validity of his faith. Glad because it meant salvation was possible. Abraham saw it and was glad. So Jesus has to say to them now in verse 58, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. How could it be that Abraham knew of this when he died so many years earlier? The thought of Jesus seeing Abraham and vice versa was preposterous to these people. They said, "You're not even 50, and you're saying Abraham knows about what's going on, who you are and what's going on." So Jesus says to them very clearly, if they would only hear, "Before Abraham was, I am." Do you notice he didn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was"? He didn't say, "I was created before Abraham came on the scene." He said, "Before Abraham was," because Abraham's life had a start, "I already was present. I am. I am." What was he saying? So we just have to go back to Moses, don't we? Back to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses said to God, "Well, who will I say has sent me?" What did God say to Moses? "You tell them that I am has sent me, has sent you to them to deliver them." The I am. Jehovah God. The God of Israel. The God of creation. God the Creator. He is the I am. He is the ever-present one. He lives in the present. He's not bound by time, but he is always present because he is the eternal one, the self-sufficient one, the I am. Jesus said to them, "I am." Verse 24, we already said, "If ye believe not that I am he," the I am. I am. He said, "I am the light of the world, but I am the I am." Before Abraham was, I am. If only they would recognize what he'd been trying to communicate all along. "I'm from the Father. I am the I am." See, Jesus is not just a God, small g God. The Bible says there are gods many and lords many. He is the God, capital G-O-D, the definite article, God, the God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's the I am. Jesus said to them, "I am before Abraham." You want to know if I'm greater than Abraham? I am. I am that I am. I am the Creator. You must believe him to be so in order to be saved and to be a child of God. Sadly, they yet did not, because what did they do in verse 59? They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They didn't believe. And what were they to do with blasphemers according to the Old Testament law? They were to be stoned to death. They took up stones, ready to kill him for claiming to be God, rather than believe. The evidence was there. They just had to believe, but they did not. Jesus didn't hide himself because he was afraid of them, but he knew that his time was not yet, nor was stoning the means of his death. He was to shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be saved, and so that those people could be saved. And so he passed out of the midst of them, and that crowd of people, he walked out. You know, many people are pinning their spirituality on whose child they are. Some people say, "Well, my parents were good Christian people, so I'm sure I'll be fine." It's wonderful to have a godly heritage, but nobody can be saved for you. You must believe yourself. Some say, "Well, I'm a child of God. Aren't we all children of God? God made us, so we're all children of God, so we're all okay."
Well, Jesus told these people who were very religious people, they weren't God's children spiritually. They were children of the devil. Those who are truly God's children will show it. Jesus is the one whose words bring life. And His words were, believe, and you'll be saved from your sins. Believe in Me, Jesus said, and you'll be saved. Galatians tells us that we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to become a child of God, and that's to believe in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Have you believed in Him? Christian, Jesus is the I Am. He is the Almighty, all-powerful God. And He calls us who are His children to live as His children. To live as children of God. So that people will see our lives, will see our works and bring and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Christian, live as a child of God. Trust Him and do what is right. And remember that as the great I Am, His power is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. He is the one who will care for you. I ask you this morning, whose child are you?